We've got an exciting episode for you.
Yes, Al and I have finally found the co-host we've been looking for.
Meet her and find out why we're really jazzed.
And meet another local hero, Tracy Porter, founder of Food Trucks Against Homelessness.
Next on Loving the Springs, the podcast that celebrates the best of Colorado Springs and Manitou and strives to elevate the rest.
You're listening to Studio 809 Podcasts. This is what community sounds like.
I'm Al Brody.
I'm Dave Gardner.
And I'm Carrie Simison.
Wow, I love the sound of that. Welcome to the Loving the Springs team, Carrie.
It's great to have you, and I hope to see you on a bicycle soon.
I am so excited to be here. When we started talking about this just a couple weeks ago, and don't you love how fast things can happen in small Arado Springs? It was something I just couldn't say no to. I've had the pleasure of working and playing with you guys in different ways across the years, and really, really excited to make it more formal and get to see you on a regular basis and talk about all cool things that happen in this little town of ours.
That's great. It was really a dream for me. When I pitched this idea to you, I thought the odds were slim. Because you're pretty busy.
I do like to stay busy, but hey, if I get to talk about all the cool things I do and let other people know what's out there and, you know, send the listeners to some cool places, I mean, it's kind of the best of all worlds.
That's great. So we're going to enjoy having you. And I know our audience is going to enjoy not just having to listen to two grumpy old men all the time.
They don't even know you're old, technically, unless they see video.
I think we probably provide some hints.
We're recording in the Studio 809 Community Podcast Studio at the Next Us, a professional cooperative environment for small business in downtown Colorado Springs. I'm anxious to learn all about Food Trucks Against Homelessness, but before we do, let's give our new host, Carrie, a proper introduction.
I first became familiar with Carrie and developed a relationship with her when she was at the Indy. And I was working on the new community radio station that our town enjoyed having for a year or two. Carrie, you were at the Independent for 20 years, I think, something like that.
Yeah, I truly was a kid when I started there. We were still on Pikes Peak Avenue in what is now the Mining Exchange Hotel when I started. Moved here from Minnesota, and it was my second job here. And I thought for sure I wasn't cool enough to get a job at an alternative newspaper. And I interviewed three or four times, I believe. And my last interview was with the then owner and publisher, John Weiss. And they told him that I'd be the one with green fingernails. So evidently at the time, green fingernails was something odd enough to point me out to be able to find. So yeah, started there.
Worked your way up.
Graphic designer, yeah. And I left it 20 plus years later as the publisher. Fantastic career, fantastic opportunities, and I'm not sure there would have been a better way to get to know Colorado Springs and realize all the changes that have happened than working for a truly independent local news outlet.
And you were there when the Indy was, you know, the top of the heap. It was the golden years for the Colorado Springs Independent while you were there.
I 100% agree with that. I think it was only 5 or 6 years old when I started. And so, you know, alternative news media truly was thriving. It was in every city of, you know, any size across the country had something like that. And it really gave us an opportunity to give voice to the voiceless, to tell the stories that traditional TV and traditional, you know, daily newspapers weren't telling. We had our fingers on the pulse of what was going on with food and art and underground. And even though Colorado Springs leans more of a conservative town, we were really a more liberal voice, but people weren't scared of us, you know? And I mean, in the day, you know, being liberal in Colorado Springs could sound like a scary thing, but I think we were really able to start connecting the sides of town to say, okay, you might call it environmentalism and you might call it stewardship, but it's the same thing. And how do we work together with all the different sides of politics, et cetera?
And I think the most notable and relevant thing is that the Indy was more than this really valuable media presence. The newspaper was a community citizen. And you were a big part of that. You were really visible in town.
I loved that part of my job, and they really let me just own it. I was Carrie from the indie. I didn't have a last name, you know.
Yeah.
From the indie was my last name, and it was awesome because no matter where I went, I could run into somebody who had a great idea of a person like Tracy that needed a story to be told about him, or a place that should be visited, or, you know, someone that was struggling that we could maybe help by giving some publicity to it. And it was awesome, especially as an extreme extrovert. I mean, if you take any of those personality tests, I am 30 on the scale of extroversion. And so for my job to be able to be public facing, meeting people, gathering stories, and, you know, just being able to talk was absolutely a dream come true. I couldn't have asked for a better career.
Well, and that extroversion, I guess, made you a natural for your next position. You went to work for Cerberus, right?
I did. I did finally need a break from media. It's a hard job. I mean, I know you've been in it long enough. It can really take a toll on time and mental health and everything. So needed a break. And my friends over at Cerberus Brewing had just gotten going. They were getting ready to do an expansion, which was by the bike shop, which eventually was going to turn into the brew house itself. But of course, COVID happened and bikes went crazy. So they kept the bike shop and they were going to start doing distribution and sales and marketing. And they were like, are you interested? And I said, absolutely. I loved craft beer. I had been hanging out at Brewers Republic when that was downtown. And the old brewer owner, Josh Adamski, had been the general manager there. So I learned almost everything I knew about beer from him. And then Ryan Hannigan at Focus on the Beer, and was just thrilled to take a break from what I had known as the grind and, you know, get to talk about beer every day, go out with what was the best craft beer in town at the time and get it on the shelves for other people to try, work events. We totally tied bikes into everything we did over at Cerberus and dogs. Loved my years in craft beer. And then I quickly realized it is a young person's game when you're you know, working late nights and doing weekend events on Saturday and bike rides to breweries on Sunday and taking pictures for social media of beer at 10 in the morning and then having to drink it. I'm like, let's leave that to the 20 and 30 year olds. So great time, and wouldn't change it for the world, but really, really liked that stint in craft beer.
And now you're at the Downtown Partnership.
And talk about a dream job. When I was deciding to get back out of craft beer, I really thought I wanted a remote position. You know, we were post-COVID. I thought I'd love to be able to go stay with my folks in Minnesota. They're aging, you know, spend a month and be working, or my partner's in the Army, so we never know where he'll be stationed, go stay with him, but not leave my Colorado Springs. I love it here. I love my house in Patty Jewett. I love my friends. I love my network. I love our city. So I thought remote was the way to go. And I saw the director of marketing and communications position at the Downtown Partnership posted just about 3 years ago now. And my friend Laurel had held the position before. And I thought, I have to. I read the job description. I'm like, it's like they put Carrie Simison in the encyclopedia or Wikipedia and took all of my job experience and interests and wrote the job description.
Wow.
And so 3 years ago in June, I interviewed with Susan Edmondson, who just left the partnership at the end of last year after 11 years of really making downtown what it is today. And she hired me just a couple days after the interview, and I haven't looked back. I really get to do what I love in a place that I love, in a city that I love, in the part of a city that I love. So I am the luckiest girl alive.
Well, that's cool. Well, if you hadn't confessed, I think our listeners would never know that you're no longer that 20-year-old.
For sure.
I do still act like it. So
yeah, if you follow Carrie on social media, man, looks like that girl never goes to bed.
Well, thank you again. I'm so excited to be here and can't wait to be a part of celebrating the Springs via this podcast.
Well, that's great. Let's ambush Tracy with a hard-hitting, tough, grilling interview. Tracy Porter, you know what? As a way of introduction, I was at the Wine, Women, and Chocolate, the big annual event that Pikes Peak Women hold, and Tracy, you were there.
I was.
And apparently all your fans were there too, because every person in the place came up to me during that Aww. Event and said, you need to interview Tracy Porter.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah. So I listened and reached out, and here we are. So you're doing something really unexpected.
Yeah.
Exactly what is it that you're doing on a weekly basis?
So on a weekly basis, we partner alongside with Westside Cares, and I recruit our local food trucks to come out and serve a hot meal to our neighbors experiencing houselessness. And then we also have items that we get donated, such as toiletries, hand warmers, brand new underwear. Whatever's needed out there, we will take, and then we hand those out, and then we just build relationships with our neighbors who are experiencing houselessness, which is the most important thing.
But every Monday, you're there at Westside
Cares. Every Monday, unless Westside Cares is closed, so major holidays and or, you know, snowstorms and such like that, then we won't be there.
How did this start? What made you decide to do that?
You know, the crazy thing is that in late 2021, during COVID, my wife and I had wanted to support our HOA and our small business community with bringing in a food truck to get more members to join our HOA, and it got poo-pooed. So we decided to take a food truck over to Westside Cares and help our small business community and then also our neighbors that are experiencing houselessness. And we paid for those food trucks, and then you can't stop doing something that great that is helping others when you start something like that. So it just grew into where we are today, which is amazing.
And you're a nonprofit.
We are a nonprofit.
You know, you've got some expenses.
Yeah.
How are you balancing that budget?
How am I balancing that budget? Balancing the budget and getting the donations in? Yeah. Our community is who entirely funds Food Trucks Against Homelessness. So really, Facebook with all my QR codes, just my networking, going to fundraisers and such like that is how I try to bring in the money. And I am the sole person that brings in all that money. I do have volunteers that show up on Mondays to help out, and they help and bring in some of those in-kind donations. But it's me who is entirely pretty much doing the fundraising.
So on any given Monday, approximately, what does it cost you to host a food truck?
To host a food truck, it can run. I pay for the food cost and supplies, and I ask them to give up their time and gas, and that can run $300 to $500 in food cost, depending on what they serve.
Wow. So times almost 50 times a year, you have a pretty big ask out there.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say in total yearly, probably like 25 to 30 is what, is needed to keep us going. So it's not too bad, but it's a lot.
Especially with one person behind the wheels looking for the funds.
Yes. Yep.
And that's thousands for the people who are thinking billions and millions.
that's a good plug there.
I'm guessing that you're not depending on any federal grants, so you're not going through any of those pains right now of those being sucked away.
No. Yeah. And I would like to try to avoid those just because of, you know, the intensity that it takes with that. So
people can donate.
Yep.
And one easy way to do that is to head to your website.
Yep. Head to our website, our Facebook pages, because those QR codes are on like an auto, please, you know, support us. So 100% either way.
All right. What's the URL for the website?
It is fthcos.com.
Pretty easy to remember.
Say that one more time.
I know. fthcos.com, or you can type out the entire Food Trucks Against Homelessness and you'll get there.
Thank you.
And we'll put a link in the show notes.
So are there food trucks that are repeat servers on Mondays?
Yeah. These Girls Got Beef is one of my regular monthly food trucks that show up on Mondays. I just had Smoke and Jay's Barbecue back because I had called them for another event that I did. I am actually starting to book some trucks like for other businesses in town and then asking for 10% back from the food truck. So it's kind of a way to help other businesses out and then ask the food truck to also donate back to Food Trucks Against Homelessness. So it's kind of a win-win in community with our businesses. Mateo's is the one who started with me, and they were a consistent one in the beginning. But yes, I do get repeat food trucks.
I love it. And I would imagine they start to build relationships with the clients as well after they've been there once or twice.
Yeah.
And what an awesome way to normalize a part of someone's day that is absolutely up in chaos sometimes. Yeah. Just being able to sit down with other people, have a meal, have a conversation, and have someone just talk to them about their day or talk to them about if they want ketchup on their hot dog versus, you know, what has to be going on other parts of their lives.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that's a big thing that I realized fast forward is I want to offer them some normalcy, right? Because I believe that that gives them the hope eventually to, you know, make a change in their lives if that's what they want to do.
That's awesome.
So you're providing a service that is available in other ways, other entities, but in kind of a unique way. Why does it matter? Why is it so important to the clientele to have what you're doing on Mondays over there?
Well, the most important thing, it's interesting because I thought like that hot meal was important because they don't get hot meals as much as they get cold meals or like hot dogs or pizza thrown at them, right? Those simple things, simple, cheap things. But I realized that it's the relationships that I'm building and the friendships that I'm building, right? Because it's not just, I mean, a relationship is a friendship, but a friendship is different than a relationship. So it's really that is giving them the hope to want to make the changes in their life. I mean, I have watched certain clients with mental illness not be able to speak to me hardly. And then fast forward 6 months later, you know, I've built this trust and respect with them. And then I have these conversations with them and their symptoms are less. So, I mean, it's just amazing. You know, it's a beautiful thing. We are put on this earth to help each other. And that's what I believe. So that's what I do.
So I guess it's worth it having to work with Christy Milligan. I hear she's just a pain in the rear.
Yeah, she's such a... She is actually my spirit animal. I love her.
I don't know anyone who doesn't. Christy's executive director of Westside Cares.
Between Westside Cares, Christy, her volunteers, who I know have lasted, like her volunteers don't quit.
Yep.
And you guys being there every Monday, again, to have consistency in your life is one thing that, again, can help you make a change when you know that every Monday you show up and you're going to see the people that you know, that you trust, because they have showed up again and again and they have just been kind and treated you like a human being and had a conversation with you. Like, that consistency alone between your organization and Westside Cares and the clients, I mean, what a spot of joy in what potentially could be a dark day for someone too.
Oh, 100%. I was thinking the other day, I see those friends, our unhoused neighbors, more than I see my friends, you know? Wow. So yeah, I mean, yeah, I am just as grateful that they show up for me as much as I show up for them.
So even if you weren't making the big bucks doing this, you would keep doing it.
Yeah, and I'm not making the big bucks.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I don't make anything. I do not pay myself. Nobody's paid within my organization.
Wow, bless you for that volunteership. So to keep this organization running, I think there's something coming up in the fundraising department that we should share.
Yeah, so our annual fundraiser is coming up, and we partner with Dutch Heritage Gardens for their spring open house up in Larkspur. So we show up on the 24th, the first Saturday, and I have items that are donated for our drawing. So you can, you know, hop into that drawing and win something really cool, which I'll be starting to post all those on Facebook as teasers. And then their spring open house is 6 days. So Friday, Saturday, the first weekend, and then Friday, Saturday, the second weekend. And I hire food trucks to come out and serve meals during their open house, and then they give 10% back. So if you can't show up on Saturday when we're there from 9 to 5, you can always show up on one of the other days. And as long as you purchase something from the food truck, then we'll get 10% back. And the owner of Dutch Heritage Gardens normally matches our Saturday gig when we're there, but we got him to match all 6 days.
Ooh, wow.
So that's huge. That'll be huge for us this year.
So that's Memorial Day weekend.
Memorial Day weekend. Yeah. And you'll get the opportunity to shop their spring open house sale, which if you have not been, they have 6 acres of beautiful plants and flowers for great prices. They normally wholesale plants to our local grocery stores, et cetera. So it's a stellar deal if you are into making that outside look beautiful.
And so the fundraiser on Saturday, do you buy tickets, like raffle tickets to win something, or how does it work?
Drawing tickets.
You buy drawing tickets and then...
Keyword.
And then each ticket enters you to win one of the prizes.
Yep. We'll have a Blackstone grill. I got $250 from Prime 25.
Ooh.
I got a local artist to donate Batik watercolor class, which is a Batik watercolor class experience because she just does amazing things, which if you go to my Facebook page, you can read about how great her experience is.
That's awesome.
And this is before the Renaissance Festival starts up, so you don't have a traffic issue going up there.
Oh, and it's a beautiful drive.
Yeah.
I mean, I drive it every morning just to greet all the food trucks. I just feel that that's my responsibility, make sure they're all set up, whatnot. And yeah, so I get 6 days in May to just go on this beautiful drive, which is amazing, with tops off the Jeep, so I can't complain.
The family that owns Dutch Heritage Gardens, one of their daughters used to work with me at the Independent, Amanda Lundgren. And one of the other...
She's one of my friends.
Is she?
Yeah.
And one of the other daughters owns the plant store downtown,
the living room.
Mm-hmm. And we used to get our holiday poinsettias from them every Christmas when I was at the Indy to give out to clients. And the quality of the plants were
amazing.
So good. Mm-hmm. And they were so nice to work with. They'd come to deliver and it would just be this truck of giant red leaves. It was awesome.
Yep, yep.
What
they're
a great
amazing.
Family. And they're all so just genuine and authentic and giving.
Yeah.
It's wonderful to partner with them.
Yeah. My partner who helped me create this fundraiser, it was her idea, is Dory Lundgren, who is Amanda's husband's mom.
Ah,
yeah.
Small.
And Dory is like my bestie. Yeah.
How small can a big city be?
Yep. Yeah.
700,000 people, and look at this.
Yeah.
It almost seems planned.
Yes.
So I've got a question. I'm trying to process all this. You're making people's lives better, which is an amazing thing to do. If you've got that right, do you scale up? Do you want to get bigger? Do you want to, what's the next step, if there is a next step, or do you just keep it where it is?
That's always one of the questions I get asked. And to be honest with you, at this time, I don't feel that the impact would be the same if I scaled up. I think the impact right now that is happening is so great, and I would like to just keep it where it's at. Until, you know, the universe tells me, right? It's time to, I don't think I can disappear from being so-called boots on the ground. I don't want to be the executive director at the desk. I want to be within our community, because that's where I see the big changes coming, is the friendships that I'm gaining. And I also want to say one thing, because I meant to say it earlier about what we do, because it's so important. Stacey Howard with Beauty by Stacey Ann has joined Food Trucks Against Homelessness, and she and other barbers and hairdressers in town come every Monday to also give haircuts to our unhoused neighbors, because a lot of them do have jobs and do work. And then some of them just want their haircut because it's really nice to get your haircut when you can.
I imagine so.
Yeah. But I don't mean to like distract us and take us down another route.
No, but what a great... Again, what a great need to fill at the same time as everything else is going on. I mean, between being able to, you know, get a new pair of socks and some toiletries, have a hot meal, get your hair cut, and have camaraderie with people that you've become to know all at the same time. Like, stuff we take for granted.
Yeah.
And so to add on that kind of service to something like this was brilliant.
Yeah, and they nearly do 20 haircuts a week. And we were connected by somebody else. So it was Sandy Zuniga. She was the one who connected us, and then it just worked out. Yeah.
So you show up every Monday with this, like, van full of all of these items.
Van, two-door Jeep.
Oh, you stuff it all in the Jeep.
Yeah, I've never played Tetris in my life, but I know how to play Tetris now.
So do you have to purchase all that, or can people in the community listening, is there a way for them to give you physical items, or do you just need cash to go purchase those?
Either works. A lot of people will, you know, go through their wardrobe and donate clothing that way, or they go on to whatever, wherever, Amazon, Walmart, purchase that and then send it to us. But yes, I also do some purchasing myself. Obviously, when we need things, it's kind of a struggle. Like, do I want to shop and go through that process of buying it, or do I want to post it on Facebook and hope that somebody, right, which a lot of people still will purchase, you know, and then send to me, but it's all time.
So if people follow you on Facebook, that's a good way for them to find out what you need.
100%.
Do you have an Amazon wish list or anything where people could, I've never made one, but it.
Yeah, I do post those every once in a while for, like, you know, stuff that I'm needing.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't remember if I have that as an auto post on my Facebook page. Running social media is, it's not my favorite thing, but it is an important thing, and it's a lot of work. And I'm the only one who does that too. Any behind the scenes stuff, I entirely do. My volunteers just show up on Mondays and then help collect items throughout town. But otherwise, yeah, I'm the social media girl too.
So it sounds like a full-time job.
Yeah, and I have another job that pays the bills.
I have a feeling.
And I have my third job, which is me and my mental health, to be able to continue to do the prior two jobs.
Job number one.
Yeah, job number one.
I'll bet you this is a good way of nurturing that.
It is. Yeah. It is an excellent way of nurturing that, 100%.
Feels pretty darn good to be doing good things for other people.
Yeah, it does. You know, I was thinking the other day, because I do struggle with my head constantly trying to save the world, right? And then taking care of my other job, right? And then taking care of me. And I realized the yin and yang of being in a nonprofit. I'm an emotional person, so I'll get emotional. Is that I love what I'm doing, and it so much fills my soul. But then there's this sad part of, you know, being among our neighbors who are experiencing houselessness, and how do I balance that, you know? In the beginning when I did this, I would come home and a lot of processing I would have to do. And fast forward, it's not as much. I come home in so much joy as opposed to that, but there's still that part that creeps in that, you know, I'm constantly trying to balance that.
And I would imagine, just from the little bit I know about you, that I can't save everyone mm-hmm. is the part that weighs hard.
Yeah. When you're the insider in an organization that works with our homeless, I get information about when our unhoused neighbors pass away that the public doesn't get, right? So our public doesn't know how many of these people are passing away for whatever reason, whether it be hypothermia, you know, overdosing, which, you know, is a big thing too within our community of our unhoused neighbors. But I also have an understanding of why they partake in stuff like that. I mean, you go live on the streets and see what you would do to get out of your mind, right? Or out of the situation.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But yeah, so I'm privy to that information, which, yeah, can be more difficult because my, you know, I'm losing my friends.
Yep.
We're losing humans.
Well, on a lighter note, when I visited FTAHCOS.com, mm-hmm. one thing that really blew me away was I was able to scroll down a list of the food trucks mm-hmm. that have participated in this. I had no idea there had been so many. I'm assuming they're not all still around, but hopefully most of them are. That's a lot of food trucks.
Yeah, well, thank you. And it's so funny because my brother runs my website and I was like, oh, shoot, I forgot to tell him to add these food trucks that just recently served, because, you know, that's one of the things I do for them too, is at least put them on our website, plug them on Facebook, and hope I'm giving them the exposure for what they've done for us as Food Trucks Against Homelessness. Yes, some of them aren't around. I would say maybe a third. Mm. But yeah, it's beautiful.
So I can just imagine Friday night, you get together with your significant other and say, I don't feel like cooking. Let's go out to eat. Let's go find a good food truck. I know just the place to go look and see what's out there. And then you have to hunt them down. But it's kind of a cool place to just shop for a food truck.
Yeah.
And we've only had food trucks since, remember the first parking lot was over by the YMCA, and it was like this test we were going to try mm-hmm. having food trucks. And I imagine there were especially like taco trucks that would pop up here and there before then. But to have that lot that had, what, 5, 6, 7 mm-hmm. of them at a time for the year, it was so cool. I mean, all of a sudden I felt like we were a totally different city, like we had kind of grown into our, you know, big girl pants. And now, what a phenomenon. I mean, mm-hmm. almost every brewery that doesn't have a kitchen partners with them. Almost every event has them. And now we've got the other food truck lot that's over in the Meanwhile block downtown across from the soccer mm-hmm. stadium. Wednesdays and Saturdays, they feature, again, 6 to 8 food trucks. And it's really just, I don't guess maybe cultural phenomenon isn't the appropriate term, but I mean, the mobile restaurant that focuses on one thing, it's that guy or that woman or that family that just absolutely loves a particular cuisine and wanted to make it happen, but you're not stuck to the rent and the hours and the have to be there, you know, every single day, every single week, every single month of a brick and mortar restaurant. And again, people follow around their favorite food trucks. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've sought out particular taco trucks and particular mm-hmm. sushi trucks and when Doki Doki was around. Mm. Oh, my God. But it's a culture all of its own. And the folks that run the trucks mm-hmm. just have so much passion and they're so good at what they do.
Yeah. John's amazing, who owns Doki Doki, and Aoi, his wife.
Yes.
They're both amazing humans. Yeah.
I would love to see that truck come back.
I know. Me too. Me too.
Japanese fusion.
Yes.
Was so good.
So good. So good.
Hate it when we lose a good one. So here's an idea. Memorial Day weekend. Head up to Larkspur and
Dutch Heritage Gardens.
Heritage Gardens. Do some shopping for some
plants and flowers.
Hit the food trucks. And then head over to the Meadowgrass Music Festival, where there are also food trucks and great music. You can make a whole weekend of it.
Yep.
We can't let her go without asking, what do you really love about the springs? What little spot do you go to find solace?
Anywhere where there's live music. That is my mental health. I actually just went to the opening night at Ford Amphitheater by myself and just enjoyed a night. I got to actually talk to one of my favorite food trucks who works out of there, who has served for us, but it was just nice to be alone. And what do I love about the springs? You know, I came here in 93 from Detroit, Michigan, just out of Detroit. So I love the small city, even though we are getting a little bigger, and I feel like I'm driving on the roads in Detroit sometimes. I just love the connection and the community and the friendships that, you know, there's real people here, and it's beautiful.
Awesome.
It's a great answer.
Thank you for what you do.
Thank you for featuring me. It's an honor and a privilege.
Anything we didn't give you a chance to pontificate about?
No, I mean, the amount of meals we've served so far is 17K plus, so that's pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah, and in 2024, literally when it comes to boxer briefs and all the stuff that I talked about, we've at least handed out 1K to 3K plus of each. So, you know, it's a huge thing we're doing.
So now it's houselessness.
Houselessness.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm on it. I just need to be educated.
It's not a label on the person, so that's why I like it. I'm not the one who invented that.
It's a condition. It's a hopefully a temporary condition for most people.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks again, Tracy. Does anybody have any news that they want to share before we close?
Talking about food, it is taco season. So the whole month of May, we have in downtown Colorado Springs, the Taco Trail. And downtown has so many taco restaurants that on the Taco Trail, which is a free passport, we are encouraging you to eat your way through all of downtown's tacos in May. So there are 10 restaurants on this passport that you can get at downtowncs.com/taco. And it's really just encouraging you to try out all the unique offerings of downtown's taco restaurants or Mexican restaurants that offer tacos. So if you happen to enjoy Mexican food and tacos, download that pass for free. And every time you check in at one of the restaurants, you're entered to win a gift card. So each week, I think there's a $25 gift card from downtown. And the grand prize is two $50 gift cards from Acquire Home Professionals, as well as another $50 downtown gift card. So you can eat tacos, win prizes is the gist of it through all of May.
You can't lose. You always get tacos.
I know, right? And I mean, I feel like especially in Colorado Springs, as close as we are to New Mexico and even Mexico and Texas, like we've got so many versions of the taco represented that it's a fun way to, you know, excuse yourself from making dinner and go try a...
I'm going
to
put our new co-host on the spot. What is your favorite taco?
My favorite taco? I would say Zocalo downtown, Zocalo. They're tucked on the southern end of downtown a little bit on Tejon, and they're shrimp taco probably.
Gambas.
I'm a sucker for shrimp, even in landlocked Colorado Springs. So yeah, I would say that.
Awesome.
I have a hard time with seafood and Mexican food blended. It just doesn't seem right to me.
Okay, Dave, we'll put you on the spot. What's your favorite taco?
My own tacos I make that are quite famous within my family, and they're called Broco tacos.
It's broccoli?
A lot of broccoli.
Interesting.
And carrots. And I developed them when I was raising my two kids, and I was trying to figure out a way to get them to eat their veggies. So I would chop up broccoli very fine and mix it in with ground turkey to make taco filling. And now whenever my kids are home to visit, that's the first thing they ask about. When are we having Broco tacos?
And we can't leave Tracy out. What is your favorite taco?
I'm going to say my own too that I make at home. You know, I mean, when my mom used to make them on the taco shells that you got in the package.
Yeah.
And I have a Brontosaurus taco holder and I love sliding them in there. And it just makes the experience so much more enjoyable.
I got the visual of the dinosaur. It's perfect.
I did make a cricket tacos not too long ago. We had a little potluck at a friend's house, and the theme was to use crickets. I had seen a report about how much protein is in crickets and compared to the energy and water needed to get protein from meat compared to crickets was insane.
Yeah, I think you can order cricket powder, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you order whole crickets?
Full dried crickets, and I did mix them in with taco seasoning, and so they kind of replaced a ground beef, and we had cricket tacos. I wouldn't say I'd make them again. It was really weird to pick cricket legs out of your teeth, but we did have other people use powder, and we had them in Rice Krispie bars with chocolate chips and all separate ways, but I have had cricket tacos, but they are not my favorite.
Well, good for you for trying that.
How about you, Al? You have a taco of...
There's a spot in Greeley. I was first stationed in Greeley, and it's a little out of the way place, and it was Tacos de Lengua, which is tongue tacos. And I got to say that if I'm going to have a taco in a truly Mexican environment, Tacos de Lengua. And if they get it right, it's delicious. It's probably even better than crickets.
Definitely better than crickets.
All right. Well, on that note, thanks, Tracy Porter.
Thank you.
Thank you, Al Brody. Thank you, Carrie Simison. All three of you guys have a history of actively working in this community to make it a better place, and I cannot thank you enough for that. We always want to celebrate that here on Loving the Springs.
This is a wonderful opportunity, and as Dave said, it's just great to see this come together, and I believe we are eking out just a bit of synergy, which is what makes it all worthwhile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you enjoyed this conversation, tell your friends, because we do this every other week, celebrating local heroes like Tracy. And I'm really looking forward to having Carrie at the table with us. So
I can't wait to be back. This was a lot of fun, and I can't wait to support Food Trucks Against Homelessness.
Thank you. And heroes don't fly alone, just so you know.
That's a great finish. So that's it for this edition of Loving the Springs, where we celebrate the best and elevate the rest.
In the Pikes Peak region, there's no shortage of activities. Whether you're experiencing breathtaking parks or magnificent works of art, if you're getting fashionable at a film festival, or fresh at a farmer's market, if you want to hear the sweet sounds of a symphony or the smooth shred of a Stratocaster, look no further than Peak Radar, your one-stop shop for all events in the Pikes Peak region, your free source for viewing and posting events. So no matter how you engage with our beautiful region, visit peakradar.com and get plugged into the peak.